Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us on the program. And we come your way live on the stream, Sundays, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. We are also broadcast, or rebroadcast, I would say. We're actually archived on our website at richarddugan.com. And we are also going to be available in other formats as well, and I'll be letting you know that as the days and weeks continue. Fun program today. I think you're going to enjoy it. Just a reminder that you can reach me via email at TMYS. Gee, I wonder what that stands for. Tell me your story. TMYS at richarddugan.com. A little simpler, maybe, but I think it's a good web email address. It'll get right to me. Email is TMYS at richarddugan.com. So please let us know what you think of the program. We'd like to know what you think of our guests. We'd love for you to go to our guests' website, check out what they have to offer. We link to them. Every one of our guests has a link, and as long as that website is up and running, that link will continue to be there for you. Well, we're going to take a look at the power of the heart. We're going to help you to find your true purpose in life. And isn't that what we're kind of here to do? This program is here to help to provide you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dream come true. And my guest is going to assist in that process in a bigger way than I can because of his latest work. Baptiste Depape, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Richard, for being on your show. It's fun to be here.
This is kind of exciting. It's a time to discover the power of your heart. And, of course, there's been a lot of conversation over the years, especially the last 10 or 15 years, as research goes on and on about the heart, not only the physical muscle, but also that metaphorical or even spiritual heart of the human being. I took part in a community dialogue the other evening regarding my co-host of the series that we do called Mythosophia. We're delving into the various aspects, the depths of myth and wisdom. And we got into this conversation about language and about symbols. And the heart is a huge symbol for a lot of people, both religiously and otherwise, spiritually and so forth. And so maybe we might want to start there and talk about the heart in terms of your book and the work that you're doing. What is the heart?
Well, Richard, if you look at all spiritual traditions and religions, then the heart has been described as a source of power and wisdom. And of course, I couldn't interview the Buddha or Lao Tzu or Jesus anymore, but they've all described the heart as a source of wisdom. And the Buddha, for instance, said, "The way is not in the sky, the way is in the heart." And Jesus said, "Whatever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy heart." And Lao Tzu said, "Abide at the center of your being, for the more you leave it, the less you learn. Search your heart, the way to do is to be." And what I found really interesting that today modern science has evidence that the heart, you know, has a power that goes beyond its biological function. So it's really confirming what all the spiritual traditions and all of the major world religions have been saying, that the heart is the access point to something bigger. It's the access point to the soul or the human spirit, to wisdom, to intuition. And it's really wonderful to see that the research is really starting to show that all those spiritual traditions and religions, that they've been right all along. And it's, of course, very interesting to investigate, you know, what is the wisdom of the heart and how can we tap into it? And how can our, you know, skeptical brains, you know, have how can we give our brain permission to believe in the intelligence of the heart? Because most of the time we think it's just a pump. And how can we really start believing in it when we have the scientific backup, the scientific validation?
You know, it's one of those things. And again, you've given us some incredible quotes. And of course, there are thousands and thousands across the globe and in other languages as well, but we all seem to come from that same place where we'll be at a particular turning point in our lives, And suddenly we make a decision that to our conscious ego makes absolutely no sense. And yet we know deep inside that that was the right move. And you had such an experience that actually began to propel you on this path.
Yes, it is. It is really, you know, from our mind's perspective, it is really, really, really very, 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 very scary. And it was also my experience, but also the experience I had in interviewing all the people I've interviewed for this project, that everyone, and also including myself, we were all trying to live from, you know, the conventional way of thinking, you know, through the way we were raised by our parents, through our education, and we all tried to fit in, and we all tried to live, you know, by conventional standards and with conventional skills, because, you know, we all tried to fit in and we all just want to be normal. And all of a sudden, and it was also the case with me, a crisis occurs in our lives. And in all the interviewees told me that the crisis made them to look at other resources, because when you are in a deep, deep, deep crisis, they all realized that the conventional skills couldn't help them and support them anymore to get through that crisis. And it's so it's never a choice to go to the heart, not in the interview, you know, in the experiences and the with the interviews I had. It's always a crisis that forces us to go to the heart, to let go of the conventional skills and the conventional ways of approaching our reality. And we are only willing and able to do it when we have no more choice, when it's almost like do or die. A good example of that is Eckhart Tolle. He was working at Cambridge University, and he was so suicidal. And he said, I can't live with myself anymore. And that's when he made the shift. So it was really a do or die situation. So from what I've learned in our time, it's never a choice, but it is a way of really surviving. And it's always a crisis that leads us to the heart.
And when we are there at the heart level,
yes,
we talk on this program an awful lot about intuition.
Yes.
Or the still small voice. Again, a myriad of different names for the same thing.
Yes.
And so when you follow that still small voice, is your perspective and even belief that that is the connection through the heart to the supreme being, the universal force, God, again, whatever name you choose to give it?
Well, I think it works like this. First of all, you know, why do we have so much trouble of trusting our intuition? There's a reason for it. And if you look at the difference between, let's say, the mind and the heart, then it's a little bit like this. If you are on a boat on a river, then your mind can only see the next bend, the next turn on a river. But your heart can see the whole river, the whole journey on the river from source to sea. And of course, the challenge for us is to learn to trust that. And in order to learn to trust that, we have to experiment with it. And we all had these circumstances in our life where we had to make a decision, and we were weighing all the pros and all the cons, and something looked good on paper. And when we checked with our feeling, with our intuition, then we might have felt like, it doesn't really feel good. And the heart is, of course, the center of that. And so, you know, in every decision we make in our lives, we check it from a linear perspective, from the mind's perspective, but we also feel something. And if we don't listen to that voice, that voice inside of our hearts, then we don't take into account the whole journey. We only, you know, look from a very limited perspective, which is the mind. And I think that if we are connected with our heart, then our soul is involved. And what that means is our soul is our higher self. And if we fulfill the intention of our soul, if we live from the soul, if we fulfill the purpose of the soul, and because the soul has a purpose, then the soul will say, okay, now you have 100% access to intuition, because intuition is coming from the soul. And once you start to work from intuition, because you are aligned with your soul, because you are aligned with your heart, because you are working from the purpose and the intentions of your heart, then you have also the synchronicities, because intuition and synchronicity are aligned, and intention coming from the heart and intuition and synchronicity are aligned. So the more you start to live from your heart, the more you start to experience intuition, the more you start to experience synchronicities. For instance, you want to do a project, and the intention for that project is coming from your heart. And one morning you think about John all the time, and then suddenly he calls you and you say to John, "Hey John, what a coincidence. I was thinking about you all morning and now you call me." It was really your intuition already giving you the signals that in order to fulfill your soul's purpose, you have to get in touch with John. So it's not a synchronicity. It's already coming from your intuition, and you experience it as a synchronicity. But intuition and synchronicity are really on a deeper level the same thing.
The Power of the Heart is the title of the book, but it's also the title of a movie. You are a lawyer, but also a filmmaker. And before we jump into the movie, let me just ask you about the people that you interviewed.
Yes.
You went around and you spoke with, you have a list of names. That you've already mentioned some of them. And yet there are others who are out there who are doing their thing, so to speak.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you came across, and how many you came across, of what we might refer to, and I mean no disrespect to any of them, but some of the little people, just the common folk who are kind of in the same place as the big name folks.
Yeah.
But they don't have the big names.
Yeah, it's true. But it is all the people I've interviewed were once the common folk. They were that, but they became famous at one point because they, on a very consistent basis, they started to live from the heart. I mean, Dr. Maya Angelou is a very good example, I think, of someone who was, let's say, common folk. You know, mm-hmm. when she grew up and how she was brought up. But, I mean, she had a terrible, terrible youth. She was raped when she was 8. She didn't speak for 5 years. She started speaking when she was 13 again. She didn't have, you know, she was not born in privileged circumstances at all. And yet she managed to cope with so many things, with racial problems. She was there when she was working for Martin Luther King when he was assassinated. She was working with Malcolm X when he was assassinated. She went through so much hardship, and still she became an ambassador of the heart. And I think that, you know, those people, I chose them because I couldn't interview, you know, I looked at all spiritual traditions and religions and I thought, oh, I can't interview the Lao Tzu or mm-hmm. Buddha or Jesus anymore.
Right.
So I have to look for people in my time who are talking about the heart and speaking about the heart in their work, through their work. And I remember the first time I saw Maya Angelou on television, it was during the first inauguration of Bill Clinton. And she was reciting a poem. And in this poem, she encourages us to go to the heart. And so, you know, that's how I first saw her. And Paulo Coelho, who is the author of The Alchemist, a wonderful book, encourage you to listen to your heart. The story in The Alchemist is about a shepherd boy, Santiago, who learns to listen and follow his heart. So I was really looking for people that I could find who really speak about the heart as a source of wisdom and intelligence. And if you look at their life stories, they were all very normal people, most of them. Of course, there are people who, you know, were born in certain circumstances, but like 90% of the people I've interviewed were really very common, normal people who went through a lot of challenges and hardships. I mean, in the movie, you will see someone who is in Rwanda living through the genocide. Paulo Coelho had a, you know, he had a very, very, very tough youth. And if Eckhart Tolle, he had a very, very tough youth. And if you look at their lives, they all had, you know, very challenging lives. And it was always a crisis situation that led them to transform into the heart.
We've actually had, I was just even looking through some of these names, Howard Martin on the program with Heart Math, and the fascinating stories that he has told us about the science that they have been involved in for decades. It's just extraordinary, the fact that they are able to capture, if you will, or monitor this energy, this field, as say Lynn McTaggart might say that she in her book The Field, just extraordinary that we're now able to do this, and yet at the same time, there are and I suppose if you're focused on the news on television, radio, newspapers, you don't see an awful lot of heart work going on.
Yeah, so stop focusing on it.
And there's the key right there. Exactly. That's what I tell people. I says, look, you know, I understand you're upset and you're depressed and you're concerned about this issue and that issue. And, you know, and I could name some things even right now as we're speaking. But it really doesn't make any difference what the issues are. The fact is, these kinds of things have been going on for centuries on this planet. And it doesn't matter whether man's doing it to man or whether we've got a virus that's traversing the planet or we have natural disasters. Gee, those sound kind of familiar. And so why should I put my energies? It's like the there's a passage from the Bible. Jesus is quoted as saying, resist not evil. And that's the phrase. But the operative word there is not. It's not saying go ahead and be evil and do evil. It's saying don't resist it. And I use the analogy of a brick wall. Mm. You can't go through it. You can't go over it. It's too high. You can't go around either way. It's too long, and you can't go under it. Walk away.
Well, I've got two things to say about that, you know.
Yeah.
What you resist persists. And of course, we all know that. But listen, I've learned that in every situation, you never, never, never attack the darkness. You always amplify the light. And I think that's what we're supposed to do, you know, amplify the light, amplify the love on this planet, open your hearts. That's the only way to do it. Be the change you want to see in the world, Gandhi said. He was a great example of that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was confronted with great violence from the British Empire in his time. And he showed us the way how we could do it. And I'm not saying it's easy. And some people would say it's naive. But I think it's the only way. But it only happens when we start connecting with ourselves from a higher perspective, from soul level. As long as we only identify with the body and we think, oh, I'm just the body, then you cannot connect with a greater power that will lead you into this approach.
This is, to me, it's fascinating. You were the movie. We'll dive into now The Power of the Heart. The movie. There's the book, and now there's the movie. Was actually directed by the same person who directed The Secret. So I'm curious, because I'm sure you've seen and read The Secret.
Yes.
Would you say that yours is sort of the next, shall we call it, evolutionary step in that process?
I've lived with Drew Harriet, the Australian director who directed The Power of the Heart, and yes, he also directed The Secret. I've lived with him for 7 months, and we worked together on The Power of the Heart. I as a producer, he as a director, and we had a lot of conversations about this. And you have to keep in mind that he was 24, 25 when he directed The Secret, which is very young.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, you know, what is the difference between The Secret and The Power of the Heart while we were producing it? And he said, and I agreed with him, he said, you know, The Secret is really saying, you know, if you want to attract this wealth or that car or that woman or that man or you know, this career, then they gave you a certain set of, you know, skills to do that. But in The Power of the Heart, we say, okay, if you want that wealth or that woman or that career or that thing, we ask, why do you want it? And second question we ask is, where is the intention coming from? Is it coming from your personality or your ego, or is the intention coming from your heart? And we feel that if your intention is coming from your heart, then you are fulfilling the purpose of your soul, then you are fulfilling the reason why you are here. You are answering the call of the soul in you. And when you do that, then the intuition starts working for you, and then you meet the right people, and then you experience the fulfillment, and then you are on purpose with your life, and then you experience the synchronicity. So what we are saying, we are really first aiming to connect you with who you really are, with the deeper level of who you are, before we start talking about what you want to manifest, because we are really interested in manifesting from the intentions of your heart. That's what our film is about. And your heart is not interested in making money all by itself. And Eckhart Tolle says it beautifully in the book and in the movie. He says, know that if your only intention is to make money, know that you're disconnected from your heart. So it's really a different message. Our aim and our intention with this project is first to help people to connect with their source, with their being, with their heart, and then ask, okay, what's the intention of your heart, and live from that place, and start working from that place, and start manifesting from that place. So yes, you could say that this is an evolutionary thing, that right now humanity is going through an evolution, and that we are trying and have this thirst for connecting from a deeper identity, which is the heart.
Well, since the beginning of recorded history, the great teachers of the world's spiritual traditions have described the heart as the source of true power and understanding. There was a poem that I read some years ago. I still carry it with me. I'll paraphrase it. It's by Sebastian Tiberius. And, excuse me, he basically talks, it's a poem about the gods. And they are a little concerned about man's trying to become like them. Yes. So they say, well, what we need to do is we need to hide the secret. We need to hide it from man, because, you know, all hell will break loose if man becomes like us. So anyway, the poem goes on about how, well, we'll hide it in the mountains. No, he'll learn to climb there. We'll hide it in the oceans. No, he'll learn how to go down there. We'll hide it in the stars. No. And every place they thought of, they couldn't hide it there, because man would find a way, until at the end of the poem, it says, I know exactly where we'll hide it. Will hide it in the heart of man. He'll yes. never look there.
Yes, yes.
And yes. I just found that so appropriate. And I think that with that, what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with the author of The Power of the Heart, Baptiste de Papel. And he is helping you to find your true purpose in life. That's what we're here to do. Stay with us. There's more to come.
Stories, I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, here with the author of the book is entitled, and the movie is entitled, The Power of the Heart. There's a website. Keep that name in mind, The Power of the Heart, and put a .com after it. And that is the website. You can check out the movie. You can check out the book. You can check out our guest who is joining us here via Skype, which is really kind of cool, the technology that we have available to us, Baptiste. And it's a lot of fun to be able to communicate literally around the world. And it used to be with satellite, there was a delay. You had to sit there and wait 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 seconds or more. And now it's virtually instantaneous, maybe a half a second or 2 seconds. Not a big deal anymore. It's really kind of nice to be able to do that. And obviously news reports, they're getting them via the same method. So it is really nice. And it's almost as if you're right here in studio. But I'll tell you what, if you find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, Baptiste, we would love to have you in studio to continue this conversation. I think that would be a wonderful thing, and especially by that time, I guarantee you're going to have other projects that you're going to be working on that we would love to let our listeners know about. Let me ask you about this process of finding one's purpose. I mean, we hear it all the time. We've talked about it over and over again on this program. We've used intuition as the catalyst, if you will, for that purpose. Can you tell us from your perspective, from the book, from the people that you've interviewed, and I'm sure that you've sort of culled it down into a very simple way for people to understand it, because our minds need a step-by-step. Is there, from your perspective, a step-by-step for finding one's purpose?
Can you hear me, Richard?
I can hear you just fine.
Yeah. I just wanted to say one more thing. I will be in Santa Barbara on October 28th for the Santa Barbara Film Festival. And I wanted to respond just before break. You told something beautiful. You shared the story of Tiberius, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say that the same story is in a way in a book, but according to Deepak Chopra, it's an old Indian story.
Okay.
And it's an old Indian story that God wanted to hide the truth and said, I want to make it interesting for people. And the one place I want to put it in is their hearts, because they look everywhere else only to discover later that the truth is in their hearts. So, I mean, this story really shows that, you know, we are all spending our whole life searching for fulfillment and happiness, and often expecting to find it in, you know, in the purchase of a beautiful house or a luxury car or, you know, material positions. But the real satisfaction comes when we connect with our heart, with our true source of happiness and fulfillment. And it is all inside us, now within our heart. So I want to thank you for sharing that story, because I think it's a really universal story. And I think we can trace it back to many cultures, actually. Yeah.
That's what's interesting about all of this conversation, is that it's so universal that you can't escape it no matter where you're researching. In that conversation that I had with the community group a few days earlier that I was mentioning in the last segment, we would each speak of a symbol that we wanted to talk about in the evening as we went around introducing ourselves. And there was the spiral, as you might see, say, at Newgrange in Ireland or in other areas. Someone said the symbol of the tower. Someone even brought up the symbol of the cross. And I focus not so much on a single symbol, but more the symbols of language of all cultures, because I'm intrigued as to how an individual or a group of people ever came up with the characters, whether it's Japanese or Aramaic or Sanskrit or Russian or German or even English, for that matter. How did they decide on the X number of characters that would then make up the words and sentences, etc., and then the meanings of the words and so forth? I mean, it just went on and on and on, and it was like incredible how eventually by the end of the evening, we had managed to tie all of these symbols together, and everybody was coming from a different thought place, a different educational place, if you will, of learning. And yet we were all able to bring it all together in one room. It was really, really extraordinary. And if only the powers that be on this planet could do the same thing and understand that we're all here together, and we're all here just trying to I think the word I've used many times, thrive. We're trying to thrive. We don't want to survive anymore. We want to thrive.
Yes.
And living one's purpose, I honestly believe, regardless of the times in which you live, give you that thriving, shall we say, heart-centered mentality, because you're not concerned about all the other stuff. Your perspective.
Well, I first wanted to answer your last question, because it's a very important question. Mm-hmm. It was about intuition.
Yes.
You know? And what is it? Intuition is, I think, the heart's language. And you can find out how your intuition works by directing your attention inward. You know, you have to look inward to connect with your heart. And I think that your heart's intuition also allows you to see beneath the surface of other people's behavior, and it will help you to exercise compassion and also to see things from a much bigger, wider perspective. For example, you know, when someone seems upset with you, your intuition may allow you to see that this person is under a lot of stress that causes him to project his frustration onto you. So you start to really look from a different perspective. And I think that it's really important that to realize that intuition has an agenda. Intuition always has your best interest at heart. And, it has... a real beautiful, compassionate and loving agenda, and it always looks at win-win situations for everyone. But the problem is, well, the challenge with intuition is that your intuition speaks to you in its own way. And someone will say, oh, my intuition works like this, and this is how intuition works. But intuition works different for everyone else, because we've all got our own specific blueprint. And I talked about this, you know, with all the people I've interviewed. How do you connect with your intuition? And they all gave a different answer. Jane Goodall said, I connect with my intuition, with my heart's intuition, when I'm in nature. And Isabel Allende said, I connect with my intuition when I'm writing. And Eckhart Tolle said, when I'm in the present moment. And they all gave different answers. So I realized, this is confusing. But on the other hand, I thought... Well, this is actually good news, because we are all different people, and people should just look at all the answers and really figure out and find out what resonates with them, because we've all got our specific blueprint. And however your intuition communicates to you, you know, trust it, give it your attention, sit with it, relax into it, and really be open to what it tells you. And if you really experiment with it and follow its guidance as best as you can, then you will see that every time you choose to go with your heart's intuition, it will be a beautiful outcome. And we have to really discipline ourselves every time our mind says left and our heart's intuition says right. If we really discipline ourselves to go with our heart's intuition every time, then it becomes a habit, then it becomes a way of living. But yes, it takes some determination and discipline to do that.
Yeah, I've also learned too that there are certain aspects of our culture and modern society that become irrelevant when living from that space of following one's intuition. That I don't concern myself with the issues of, let's say, privacy. I don't concern myself with the issues of liberty and freedom and justice for all. They're irrelevant in the sense that I'm trusting this voice, this guidance that I've been telling everybody is there for your best interest, is there to, it may challenge you at certain points in your life, but it will never put you in harm's way. It is there to help you. It is there to guide you. Am I wrong in that particular philosophy, do you think, or perspective?
No, I mean, you see it all the time. People say, oh, my privacy on social media is so important. My privacy this and my privacy that. Well, I got news for you. You know, from the soul's perspective, it's a joke, because the soul is infinite intelligence, infinite source, infinite life. And it's really, from that perspective, it's a joke, your privacy. But those are all things that come with the personality and with the identity and with the social mask we put on. But the soul really... is not so, invested in that. And it really, it's like, I don't care. I mean, I'm infinite intelligence and infinite wisdom and I'm infinite life. So why should I care about privacy on Facebook? Right.
Yeah.
And the more you connect with your soul, the more you identify with your soul and stop identifying on a personality level, then, you don't care about those things anymore, because they're all, very trivial. From this perspective of the soul.
Yeah. I just have to chuckle sometimes when I hear people get so wound up about that, and I'm going, I remember thinking that, first of all, if my life, as many celebrities' lives have been, but if my life were turned into a reality TV show where they followed me around, I wouldn't watch it. I mean, my life is interesting to me, but I certainly wouldn't spend time watching it on television because then I'm not living my life.
No.
I'm not doing the things that I want to be doing and living my purpose.
Yes, I want to tell you something about it. I have a lot of media attention from France right now for the book and the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a French television show. It's really, really big in France. And the format is that they follow a quote-unquote celebrity for 48 hours, nonstop. And as they said, I live in Amsterdam. They said, we want to come to Amsterdam and follow you with a few cameras for 48 hours. And, I called my my publisher in France and said, should I do it? And they said, yeah, it's a big television show. You should really do it. Millions of viewers. And I said, okay, this is good, promotion for this project. And I knew the TV host, the one who is hosting this, is really into spirituality and is really coming from a good place. So I thought, well, let's do it then. But on the other hand, I was thinking, oh my God, they're going to follow me for 48 hours and my life is just not that interesting. You understand? I mean, yeah. I have to make it interesting because, what do I do? I give interviews, I promote the book, I promote the movie, I'm traveling, I'm in hotels. And now they want to follow me in Amsterdam 48 hours. So I have to make it interesting. But I just have a normal life. I'm just a normal guy. And I thought, yeah, how interesting can it be to follow a person for 48 hours? But okay, we did it. And it's strange. I think the same way too. I thought, well, my life's just not interesting enough to follow me for 48 hours with a camera. So it can really resonate with what you just said. Because I've lived through it a little bit. Yeah,
it is really very interesting, and our culture has sort of gone off the deep end a little bit in that regard. But that's, I guess, where we kind of come in and we say, hey, let's bring it back to center here. Let's refocus and recalibrate and say, hey, there are more important things, more relevant things to be about. And that's what we need to be about. I mean, when as a kid in high school growing up and talking about in class, they would talk about like changing the world. You want to change the world. You want to make a difference. You want to do this, that, the other thing. And I used to think that, trying to change the world, that's just too big. But unfortunately, that's where it was left. And it wasn't until really doing this program, although I was aware of this already, but it was doing this program that I began to realize that you do what you can right where you are in your community. Make the little ripples in your little pond, because then they go out and then they affect other people who then make their ripples and they affect other people.
Yes.
And they make their ripples. And it keeps growing and growing and growing. So you can change the world, but don't think of it that way, because it can wear you out real fast because you think you're never going to accomplish that kind of a goal. When it comes to this particular project, The Power of the Heart, and by the way, I know of my present wife has had a couple of experiences, one I was a part of, where she knew that she had to do something. I mean, there was this compulsion. She was definitely being led. And it was totally contrary to the laws of a social convention or of business or economic or whatever it was. And so before she could stop herself, the words were out. I think I'm going to quit. Say a job. Mm-hmm. Because it's just too stressful, it's a hostile work environment, et cetera, which just blew away the people that she was sitting in front of, her supervisors and their supervisors. And sometimes, and you've had that kind of an experience of signing a contract for big bucks and a great opportunity and all of this stuff as a lawyer, couldn't do it. It's like, the real world's telling you, no, come on, you'll have everything you could ever want. You want to be spiritual, do that stuff, great, but sign the contract and you'll have the money to do that. You didn't do that.
Yeah.
And it's like someone would say, what is wrong with him? He needs to have some tests done to find out if he's in his right mind, because who would turn down something like that?
Well, it is basically you're saying I am not for sale. I value my connection with my authentic true self mm-hmm. over work that has status. I'm just not for sale. I want to live from the authentic core of who I am. I want to live from my essence. And sometimes you are just, you know, sick and tired of being sick and tired, and just sometimes you just want to stand up for who you are and think, I'm just not for sale. I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to live the life I want to live. And if you start doing this, and I want to also react to what you said about the ripple effect from living from the heart, Eckhart Tolle said it beautifully. He said, as you live from the heart and more humans begin to live from the heart, that has a ripple effect. And it ripples out from where you are, and then you get it back. And then it spreads out. It infects others. Your state of consciousness cannot not affect others. So if you are living from your heart, then that's what you experience in others. And it's almost a miracle that what you bring to the interaction with other humans, with other human beings, it determines to a large extent what you get back from others. And I think if there are more people, you know, like your wife, who just, you know, stand up and start living from the heart, then you give other people permission for themselves to start doing that too. Because, you know, if you look at it from a soul's perspective, it is all, it's not, you know, it's all not that important to have that job, because the soul is more interested in living its intentions, in living the calling, in answering the calling. And once you start doing that, you know, your mind goes, oh, this is crazy. I don't have the security. I don't have the job. I don't have the salary. But you become alive and you follow the aliveness, and life becomes really fulfilling. And it's more insecure, maybe, from a mind's perspective. But the aliveness makes up for everything.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I've always found myself being in the right place at the right time throughout my career, throughout my life for the most part, which is part of the reason why I find myself here in Santa Barbara conducting these interviews, this interview with you. And I think the most phenomenal process that took place for me was 8.5 years ago when it was 8 years ago this month, the month that we're talking here in October, where a company came along and bought the station that I was working for, and they told the newspaper, the local newspaper, oh, no, we're not going to change the format. They're making money. It's doing great. Well, I knew who they were, and I knew they weren't telling the truth, and now it was just a question of waiting until they would tell the truth that they were going to change the format, and they were going to let everybody go, and it was that February. And I stayed on board. I said, I know what's coming, but I'm staying on board. And we ended up spent four months without work, but we had a nice little nest egg that we were able to use, and we moved. And we made the decision to move. And I used to ask the question, well, gee, why did we have to wait until we lost our jobs to move? But there's also this aspect of, I'll use the term timing. Synchronicity, if you will. By the way, the word when you use the word coincidence, I hear coincidence.
Yes.
That's how I pronounce that word now. And those kinds of events that coincide to propel you forward and give you the opportunity to make those kinds of decisions, you know, you really, once you start doing that, you don't have to worry about keeping your eyes open. You're going to be aware of them coming. But initially, you really have to keep your eyes open and your ears open and your heart open to those signs that come your way. Because I tell you what, when they do, oh, it's phenomenal. It's just phenomenal.
It is. It is. But what I've learned from all the people I've interviewed, and it's also my experience, we can have this great heart-opening conversation today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you've had those experiences where you're like, ah, this is it. I feel so good. My heart is open. I'm feeling it. I'm in the zone. I'm in the vortex, right?
Yeah.
And we've all had them, but then the next morning you wake up and it's gone, right?
Yeah.
And we've all had that too. And what I've learned is, you know, if you really want to do this, then every day you have to be aware again. Every day you have to be present, totally present, and allow yourself to go to the heart again. And it is so good that we have these experiences. But then the next day, when we're quote unquote sober again, you know, sometimes we're just drunk with love, and we're in that zone and in that flow. And then the next day we have to do it again. We have to open our hearts again. We have to work at it again, and just have the discipline to go to the heart every day again. And I think that's so important that we not think, oh, now I'm here. Now I found it. No, the next day you start at zero again. That's what I've learned.
I couldn't agree with you more. Another sign that I've come across is that when the dust has settled, if you will, that things become, I don't want, not boring, but things become sort of routine, if you will. Things are quiet. The waters are settled. Yeah. That's the sign for me that change is coming.
Yeah.
That's the sign for me. And so I try to stay aware, as you say, every day, every moment, looking for that particular sign. And what's very interesting, and it seems to be more in the last 5 years than the previous 15, that there have been very few periods of time where the waters were calm and settled, because whatever's going on in the universe is really going on. It's, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of movement happening, even on a spiritual level. And I think you and I are probably in the same mind frame, that we both want to be a part of it. And we both want to take advantage, if you will, to help others. I've heard of the analogy, Baptiste, of that we're on a ladder. Okay, we're climbing up. And there are people above us and there are people below us. And we're all climbing. Yes. Every once in a while, we might have to reach up and get some help from someone above us. And conversely, there are times when we have to reach down and help somebody up also. And I think that's what we're about doing these days.
Yes, I think ultimately living and working from the heart means a life of service. And it's not, you know, through a crisis, you are always humbled. And then you're, you know, a crisis humbles you to divinity, to the soul, and lets you live in service of that. And that's the most fulfilling thing. But sometimes we first have to be broken open. Our ego has to be broken. And we really have to say, okay, I'm going to live for something bigger than myself. A very good example of that is Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
She was born in, at that time, the most racist state in the U.S., according to her own words, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother was a maid, and her grandmother was a maid, and her grandmother told her, you know, look at me, Oprah. I hope you find yourself some good white folks to work for. And she immediately realized, you know, she was a fat girl. She was not good looking, and she didn't have much going for her when she was very young. And she said, you know, she started to pray, okay, I don't have much to live for, but let me please serve you. Let me have a life of service. She was very, she believed in God. And she, from an early age on, she started to live in service of something bigger.
Mm.
And her story, her life story. Of course, I'm a European. I look at it from a European perspective. But her life story, only in America, oh my God, you know, from where she came from to where she is now. And I believe it's because she started to live from her soul. She started to live in service. And it's an incredible story of someone who really decided to live a life of service to the soul. Yeah.
But do you think that kind of story, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the story or that there's a problem with it, but that our society takes that story, let's put it that way. Our society will then take that story and say, see, if you do this, you can have that.
No.
And our society, our culture makes those two false connections.
No, this is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Mark Nepo says it beautifully in our movie. He says, a fish cannot drown in water. A bird cannot fall from the sky. Each creature must find their own God-given element. And it's easy for fish and birds. They know their element. They know their calling. But it's not so easy for us human beings to find that call, to answer that call. And it's not about being famous. And it's not about doing big, incredible things. You know, it's not about that. What it's about answering the call. And sometimes it's just a whisper to you. And when you answer that whisper, you know, it's sometimes it's just in your right there in your own neighborhood. Then you start living from the soul. So it's not about being famous and becoming rich and famous like Oprah, not at all. But it's about answering the call. And I think that's what she did. And yes, Oprah has a big platform. I mean, you know, she's a global TV host and a celebrity, but it doesn't have to be that big of a platform. That's what I'm saying. It can be in your own neighborhood, and that is enough. And that is if that's your soul's calling, it's going to be very, very, very fulfilling, you know. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't even want to be Oprah. So I'm not talking about fame, but I'm talking about listening to that whisper, answering the call when you are called. And I think that's what she did.
Well, and I think that's kind of what I'm speaking to. And that is her calling, not
exactly.
necessarily mine, not necessarily yours,
exactly.
but hers.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Everyone has got their own different blueprint.
Yeah,
I think we can learn from her because she answered the call and she surrendered, you know. But I think that everyone has a different calling, and that's why it's so hard for us human beings. With birds it's easy, and with fish it's easy too. That's why Mark Nepo says it, you know, fish cannot drown in water and a bird cannot fall from the sky. But for us human beings it's not so easy because we don't have you know, a manual. We don't have manual, and you are very different from me, and you have a different manual, but you don't know where the manual is, so you have to go inside to find it. And that's part of answering the call, going inside and figuring out what your life's purpose is. That's why the subtitle of the book is Finding Your True Purpose in Life, because I think that's what we're all looking for. Why are we here?
Yeah.
And but everyone has a different calling. Everyone has a very specific calling.
Exactly. Yep. Before we wrap up the program, I have one other question regarding the book. The cover of the book, you have, it's embossed. Now, I don't know, a lot of times what appears on the cover of the book is the PR or the publishing company and their decision to put this on there. Did you have anything to do with the design of the cover in terms of this? It looks more like a mandala, this symbol on the cover.
It is a mandala.
Ah!
It is a mandala, yeah.
And why was that chosen? Can you tell me?
How are you gonna illustrate the power of the heart? I think a mandala is a beautiful symbol, but it's also not in a lot of ways not very specific. And there's a mystery about the mandala, and I like that. There's also a mystery about the power of the heart, and there's also a magic. I feel magically drawn to mandalas. I think there's a magic about it. They have a glow like a sun, like the sun. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's a glowing mandala. If you look at the book in the dark, then you will see that the mandala is glowing. So there is a warmth and a glow, and it's got a mystery and it's got a magic, and that's why I like it. So I was involved in the whole process, and I like it. But I have to say, sometimes if you just see the cover on let's say Amazon, then maybe it's not going to make sense. But I will tell you, I have it also, you know, from my own perspective, from my own experience, that if I have the book right here in my hands, and it's making sense, but I'm also magically, you know, drawn to it. I think most people, when they have the book in their hands, it starts to make sense. If you get what I mean, because if you just see it on the internet, and you will say, oh, I don't know what this is. This is just a pink book with a mandala. It's a little bit woo-woo. But once you have the book and you feel the book and it's in your hands and you look into the book and you see the colorful pages and you see the mandalas in the book and you see the wonderful portraits of all the co-creators, all the interviewees, then it starts to make, you know, things fall into place, I would say. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Before we wrap up the program, my final three questions. Who is Baptiste de Pape?
Well, Baptiste de Pape is a lawyer turned author and filmmaker, and he traveled around the globe to interview the world's greatest teachers in the film and book The Power of the Heart. But Baptiste de Pape is also a soul, and he's trying to live from the intentions of your soul and trying to live in service of the heart. Yes.
And though you may have answered this question throughout the interview, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
I think my main task for myself is to be aligned with my heart, to be connected with the soul, with what Gary Zukav beautifully calls authentic power, to live, you know, to align my personality with my soul. And I have to be the change that I want to see in the world, and then it will have a ripple effect. It's like with the oxygen mask, you know, if the oxygen masks come out when you're on the plane, first give yourself the oxygen, and then only then you are able to help other people. So for me too, I have to be aligned with my my heart first, aligned with love, and then from there on I have a lot to give to other people. Then I'm able to inspire people, and that's what my message is to everyone. You know, first take care of yourself, and then you have so much to give to the world. Yeah.
And speaking of inspiration, who inspires you?
Oh, Maya Angelou. It was such a privilege that she was in the project. She really was living from the heart, in the heart. And you could feel it when you were with her. And what I want to say about her is that, you know, real leaders are leading from the heart. And we felt it with Martin Luther King, and we felt it with Nelson Mandela, and we felt it also with Gandhi, and I also felt it with Dr. Maya Angelou. She was really living from the heart. She had a very challenging life with a lot of hardships, but she was there, and we want to follow people who live and work from the heart, and she was one of them. And of course, all the other people in the book, but she stood out for me. Yes.
I'd like to thank you so much for taking so much time to share with us about the power of the heart, finding your true purpose in life. It's a book. It is a movie. There is a website, thepurposeoftheheart.com.
No, sorry. The power of the heart.
I beg your pardon. What did I got the right word in there in the wrong place. The power of the heart. I beg your pardon, folks. The power of the heart is the book. The power of the heart is the movie. The power of the heart .com is the website. And Baptiste de Pape, I want to thank you so much for taking so much time to share with our listeners. And again, when you are here in Santa Barbara, we'd love to get you in studio to talk further.
Thank you so much, Richard. I had a great time, and it looked like 5 minutes, so that's a good sign.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.